good evening. This is Gijs Minderhout calling to the simulcast conference call radio show out of Magalia, California. I welcome you all. It is today Monday, the 9th of the month May, I believe. And it is the Monday evening call. We are being brought on live by BBS early, before the hour. Thank you so much, Don, and those folks at on BBS Radio for making this all possible for us. Tonight we have a special show. We have a wonderful guest, Jim McCarthy, the husband from Carla Ruckert, and he keeps the boat of the Law of One floating. Bunch of people are interacting with his big project, and it's an honor to have Jim with us tonight. We had somebody else calling in on the phone line. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location. If you want to, we welcome you. Let's see. All right, Marilyn. I'm, as we speak, I'm uploading the that Guru Ganeshta band song onto the
the
Monday
console.
So it will for sure be there next week. Another person joined in. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Good evening. It's Cleo from Connecticut.
Good evening, Cleo. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right.
Hi, Gail from New Jersey.
Good evening, Gail. Welcome to the call.
Oh, thank you, Heis.
Thank you for being here, Gail.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Right.
Someone else came in, Heis.
Yes, I noticed, but they, I gave them the opportunity, but I don't think they want to announce. Oh, here's another one. Yeah, okay. Good evening. Welcome to the call, Marilyn.
Hi. Hi, Marilyn.
Welcome.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Marilyn.
Marilyn.
Hi, Ron.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Good.
Somebody else joined in. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
My name is Judy Gibson. I live in Camp Verde, Arizona.
Hello, Judy. Welcome to the call.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here. Is this the first time you're calling in?
Yes, it is. I've always
Fantastic.
Listened to the replays.
All right. An extra warm welcome to you, Judy.
Thank you.
All right. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Raina Reynolds, Sedona.
Good evening. Who's this from Sedona?
Lena.
Hi, Lena. Good evening. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you for being here. And we had more callers join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Raiden.
Good evening to you, Raiden. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right.
Morgan in California.
Good evening to you, Morgan.
Sorry. Hi, Don. Hi, everyone.
All right. Okay, we are still 3 minutes away from the hour. Welcome all those folks that are joining on online through BBS Radio. I'm glad to announce that we have Jim McCarthy as a guest on the show tonight. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Good evening to you, Raiden. Welcome. Thank you. From Raiden. California. Good evening to you, Morgan.
All right, I hear an echo. I need to mute the line. Sorry to mute you, but I have to get rid of the background noise. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Donna and Ventura.
Hi, Donna. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
You're Rick, Iowa City.
Hello, Rick. How are you doing?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Good to have you.
Barbara in Tennessee.
Hello, Barbara. Welcome to the call.
Thanks.
Thank you for being here. All right. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
I was Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the call, Don.
Thanks.
Bing, bing. Two people at the same time. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Vin.
Vin, we welcome you.
This is Mary.
And Teddy, you're all right. That was like a split second away from each other. How are you, Jim Terry?
Is Jim McCarty here?
Negative.
Hi, this is Michelle in Cambria.
Hi, Michelle. Welcome to the call.
Hi, thank you.
All right, thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
More people have been. If you want to, please say your name and location.
This is Helen in Virginia.
Hi, Helen. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right.
Terry in Boulder City.
Is it Teddy? Hi, Teddy. Welcome back. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. How are you? Hi.
All right. Doing well.
Good.
There might be more people that came in here in the last minute. If you want to, feel free to say your name and location. And also feel free to not do so.
Prudence in Nashville.
Who's this from Nashville?
Prudence.
Prudence, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm well, thank you.
All right, thank you for being here.
Hi, could you upload that Beatles song, Dear Prudence, for Sunday?
Oh, no.
Try to find it.
You have to find it?
I need to find it, yes. I'm making a note, so. All right.
Let's see. Who else on our calls has a song named after them?
I do.
I do.
Who's that?
Michelle.
The Beatles. They get them all, huh? Michelle and Dear Prudence.
I got one.
All right. I had more people joining. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Jim McCarty, Anchorage, Kentucky.
Hello, Jim. This is Gijs. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being here, Jim.
Oh, my honor.
All right.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, Wynn. How you doing?
I was just looking up and saying, I bet I gave Jim the wrong name, the wrong pin code or something.
Nope, you got it all right.
Not that I ever do that, but.
I have a song.
All right.
What's your, who is that?
That Morgan. Only it's not under Morgan. It's the name that I was baptized. It's Nancy with Nancy with the Smiling Face by Frank Sinatra.
I see. Who else has a song named after them?
I do.
Who's that?
This is Barbara.
Barbara.
Barbara Ann from the Beach Boys.
Oh, okay.
Barbara Ann.
Cool. Okay.
Who else has a song named after them?
This is Donna. I have a song named after me.
Oh, Donna.
Yep.
Hi, this is Demetrius.
Hey, Dimitri.
Dimitri, you don't have a song named after you, do you?
No, when people hear my name, they say, "Oh, Demetrius and the Gladiators." You know the movie?
Right. Okay. Tell you what. Let's get ready. Okay. We have
Darmananda here.
Hi, Darmananda.
No,
you don't have any. You don't have a song named after you, do you?
Are you kidding?
I don't know.
Well, we got Donna. We have... who else? Who else do we have here? Hives doesn't have a song named after him, but we do have Michelle. We have Michelle and Truth. And we're just looking at all the people that have songs.
Barbara.
That's why we're... Barbara? I'm Barbara? Right. Bar, is that it? I'm going to pick you up in my little beach coop, right? So, here we go. Let me mute you all.
Hi.
Who's that? Who is that?
You just better mute us.
Well, I didn't mute you yet.
Mute, hi.
It's Bonnie, but you better mute me before I get in trouble.
Hi, Bonnie.
Right.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. This conference is being recorded.
This is May 9th, 2016. Wynn and Terry in Sedona. We have our special guest, Jim McCarty. Let me just see. Who doesn't know who Jim McCarty is? I doubt if that's true.
All callers are unmuted.
Anybody does not know who Jim McCarty is?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
All right. Okay.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Dimitri. Jim McCarty.
I was going to say, Dimitri, you're fired.
Dimitri, you're fired, right.
I'm kidding.
Jim McCarty is Carla's husband. Or was Carla's husband. That's a good question. If when somebody passes, if you're still their husband, probably so in your case. And he was also one of the original three people who were the rock group triumvirate, Trinity, who were holding the energy to bring through the Raw sessions in 1981. And Jim, anything you'd like to say to everyone? To introduce yourself.
Oh, well, I'm just really glad to be here. Yeah, we started in January 15th, 1981 was the first session with Raw. I had just joined Don and Carla 3 weeks before. I'd gotten to know them the previous year, and they'd invited me to join them, so I helped them move to a new location. And we thought that the first project we were going to do was to revise Secrets of the UFO. And then 3 weeks after I got there, Carla was teaching a student how to channel, and it's that first session that Raw came through, and Carla went into trance for the first time.
Mm-hmm. You were there.
I wasn't at that first session. I was out shopping groceries.
How dare you!
I interrupted the first Raw session by coming through the door with my arms full of groceries. At that point, somebody just asked Raw about the coming harvest, and Raw said, we must pause and deepen this instrument state. That was because I could, disturb the session. After that, we moved out of the living room, went to a special room, and used only that room for the Raw sessions.
Yeah. So I think I sent you that we started talking about this on Sunday, and I decided to continue it because when you start looking at the Raw material, the littlest things take forever because it's so deep. And Jim, were you a fan of Bob Dylan's?
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah. Well, some of Bob Dylan's songs I just recently started to understand because of graduation.
Right.
And there was one that kept buzzing through my head the last couple of days. And so I'm not going to play the whole song. I'm going to play the little excerpt that kept going through my head. And do you remember the song Stuck Inside of Mobile with the Memphis Blues again?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I think he was talking about stuck inside of planet Earth with the 4D blues again. And then he had this one line in it. Okay, I'll just let you hear it. Hang on.
Ah, the bricks lay on Grand Street where the neon madmen clam. They all fall there so perfectly. It all seems so well timed. And here I sit so patiently, waiting to find out what passed. You have to pay to get out of going through all these things twice. Oh, mama, is this really the end?
Do you remember that line, Jim?
Something I have to pay to get out of here, was that it?
It's like insane. Something like, I wonder what the price you have to pay to get out of going through all these things twice.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the line that kept going through my mind about ascension, okay? And, I mean, he had quite a few things in his music, like, I assume I like Come Shining from the west down to the east. Any day now, I shall be released. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
Good. You're a Bob Dylan expert, I can tell.
Not an expert, but I really loved his music throughout the years. Even back when
you know
Slow Train Coming.
Yeah. You remember A Mail Train Coming?
A Slow Train Coming.
That's another one called Mail Train. I Ride a Mail Train, Baby. I Ride a Mail Train, Baby. Never heard that? That was an early one. I Ride a Mail Train. I used to think he was talking about, like, U.S. Mail, right? It took me a while to figure out, oh, my God, he's talking about mail, M-A-L-E. I Ride a Mail Train, Baby. Can't buy a thrill.
Yeah, there's an image for you.
Right. But in any case, so much of his lyrics were transcendental. And I often thought that that he was semi-channeling perhaps parts of Rock Group when he wrote some of his lyrics, because they were so incisive. And he has said recently that he can't write like that anymore.
Oh, really?
That, yeah. Well, he can't. I mean, it's like he was, you have to be channeling to write lyrics, some of the lyrics that he wrote. He had to be tapping into a collective energy, because the lyrics carried too much energy to them. And after a while, you're in your conscious mind, and you get deliberate. You can't, I mean, the way he put images together was so, how would I say it? Fred, are you there?
No, I am.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Jim? Yeah. Jim?
Yes.
I want you to meet Fred Brooks.
Hi, Fred.
And Fred does these amazing healing meditations. He's really good. He penetrates energy fields. And he goes into people's spaces. He actually can clear entities from somebody's house over the phone. And I tested him out for quite some time before I recommended him. He was doing people for free. Now he charges not much, but he doesn't usually turn people down. And I was going to have Fred do a little energy clearing, but I changed my mind. I'm going to do it next week, because we're already taking too much time talking about Bob Dylan. But because Fred is so out of his space and can work, how do I put this? People are amazed that somebody can do what Fred can do. I'm amazed. And I'm tough. And Fred was telling me the other day that he's got a team, and he's got our groups working with his team, the Ra group and the Elohim group. Let me say that's what he believes. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't do it himself. He has a team on the other side that's working with him. And he actually has been working with, I think it's deceased souls on the other side that are not in this physical realm and that are going through a graduation process and his team and he are attuning into those souls and helping them release. Is that, did I say that right, Fred?
Yes, that's it.
That's it. How does it look to you when you do that?
I normally feel, I see light and I can feel large or small groups. When we learned to call in the light, a person would run in and say, help me, help me. Or there was a British guy that said assistance once. And they missed the light when they left their body somehow, for whatever reason. And some of them would have to be convinced through guilt or whatnot whether or not to go in and tell them it's love, feel the love. And instead of crossing over one at a time and trying to talk them into it, I made a deal with the team. I said, you guys have a lot of people. If you gather them up, I'll call in the light and we'll cross them over. So when I did a cemetery once and 68 went, it was the beginning. I knew that there was no limit. So we've been crossing over in large numbers. And lately the numbers have just gotten huge and huge and huge. And it's just gone almost out of control. I couldn't believe the numbers. And I had to talk to Liz. And I said, something's not right here. The numbers are so high that something either horrific or great is going on. And so she looked at it and started laughing and said, it's a circus. I said, what do you mean it's a circus? She said, well, there's lions and tigers and bears and cats and dogs and sheep and goats and a parakeet, and there goes two dogs chasing the ball. So more animals are going and more people. And I mean, we're clearing native villages. So they were in the 10 or 15,000 per crossing. But it's gone up into the 100,000 number with souls and animals. And we're going back and getting souls and soul fragments that have been stuck here on Earth for thousands of years now. It started just slowly going back in time. It seems that the longer they've been here, the harder it is to talk them over and dislodge them. But this has been going on. We've been doing this for a month and a half. And so we're getting back in time to like 1200 to 1600 BC now. Souls that have been earthbound and soul fragments, a lot of soul fragments, and animals. So it's just getting more and more, and it's just massive.
So you're talking about ghosts as well, right?
Oh, yeah. These are definitely ghosts as well. Yep, yep.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, when I talk to somebody like Fred, I actually think Fred might be doing this. But don't believe it. Get to know him. You know, he's doing it. He's a good guy to know. Okay? And I know that he has worked with a number of people who have had permanent shifts, permanent, and which is really unusual. They tell me it's permanent. You know, they say it was 3 months ago, the issue, my house feels clear, everything is lighter, so whatever Fred did works. And I thought it was very interesting to have Fred reporting that he is helping not humans, probably he helps humans too, but he's helping non-humans or souls, whether they're ghosts or in the astral, to cross over. And you know what? Not to cross over, but I would guess it's graduation. But you know what? We'll have to have another conversation about this because I want to pin Fred down and try to figure out from his point of view where he thinks these souls are actually going, where his group is taking them, because now we're going to go into the, there's a very good website called loveone.info, and it has all of the five Ra group, Ra books on it, and it searches them. And you can put in any topic, any word, and it will find everywhere that's occurred and give you a readout. So last week, I put in the word graduation, and I got a, I started reading it, and I said, this is really interesting. And then I started reading it on Sunday, and I didn't get very far. And when I say reading it, you know, when I read this stuff to the group, my goal is to take what the Ra group is saying and try to figure out how to simplify it so that everyone can understand. And Jim McCarty is probably one of the world's experts on the Ra group, in as much as one could be an expert. So I invited him in tonight to help me interpret some of this stuff. So he sat through probably all the sessions, except the first one, and as he said, and he was married to Carla, and he's been our guest before, and it's really special to have him on. So I'm just going to read these, Jim, and go down, and some of them are fairly obvious, and some of them are not, at least to me. And I have to look at it and say, what do they mean by that? And I have some actual new cognitions on some things after I read these particular excerpts. So, questionnaire. This was Don Elkins in all cases was the questionnaire, right, Jim?
Right.
Right. Okay. Well, what I was actually asking was, if 50% is required for graduation from third to fourth density in the positive sense, and 95% is required for graduation in the negative sense, does this have to more closely approach 100% in both cases for graduation from fourth to fifth? Does an entity have to be 99% polarized for negative and maybe 80% polarized for positive graduation from fourth to fifth? Okay, well, let's assume that there's people listening that don't have a clue what any of this means. So, Jim, what is graduation?
Well, it's the same thing as harvest. It's or ascension, moving from the third density into the fourth density, because you've made your choice here in the third density. Either you're going to be service to others in the positive polarity or negative polarity, service to self. And they were talking about percentages of all your thoughts, words, and deeds. Everything that you've done in your life, it could be looked at as either being of service to others or service to self. And if you've been pure enough in one direction or the other, then you can be harvested. Ra was giving the percentages necessary, or Don was given the percentages to leave the third density to go to fourth. But he was trying to get Ra to apply it to the fourth, graduating on to the fifth.
Now, third density is essentially the realm we're in. Even
right.
though people are in this density that are operating from fourth density and even fifth density. Isn't that correct?
There are wanderers here from those densities, the higher densities, fourth, fifth, and sixth.
Yeah.
They've come
yeah.
back here, gone through the forgetting process, pretty much become a third density being, but they're here to help with the harvest, and they also can do specific things. Some become healers, some become teachers, and so forth. When they
mm-hmm.
discover who
mm-hmm.
they are, a lot of people don't know they're a wanderer. They just feel like there's something unusual. They don't quite fit in. They don't really feel like they're from here.
They don't belong.
Right.
They're alienated.
Right.
And it's like, you know, these wanderers who come in from higher dimensions, they go through the veiling process. So once you're born into this realm, you don't know anything that happened before. You don't know you came from higher dimensions. You don't know nothing. So something has to wake you up. And it's my belief that a lot of people that are attracted to my work, a lot of people that are attracted to the work of LL Research, which is Jim's foundation, are put into this category of wanderers, and suddenly they say, this is what I've been looking for all my life. Wouldn't you say that, Jim?
Oh, yeah. It's really gratifying to hear from people that say, you know, I wasn't really sure about what I was doing here and why I'm supposed to be here, but I read your book, and it's gotten me a new view on life, and I feel invigorated again, and thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. So, fourth density, you know, we're talking about in this question going from fourth to fifth. Well, we're going from third to fourth and fourth to fifth, and service to self and service to others. And fourth density would be, how would you describe fourth density?
Well, Ra calls it the density of love and understanding, because there's no veil there to keep you from seeing the total unity of all creation and the fact that it's made out of love. So it's basically love, all compassionate love and service to others.
Yeah, you know, I asked Carla, how can service to self end up in the fourth density? Because the fourth does have a negative harvest, okay? And she told me, she said, well, you just have to love yourself. I said, got it. All right, okay. And so, what is the fifth density?
That'd be wisdom. That's where you're attempting to see more clearly how everything works.
Mm-hmm.
And the wisdom density has to follow the love density, because the love is the foundation for really beginning to get a grasp of the creation as it really is. You know, here in the third mm-hmm. density, we're trying to discover what it's like, and we're getting glimpses, and we have information like different channels give us, and so we're not really sure, but we have a good idea about it. But in the fourth density, you get a solid idea in the love density what things are like. So with that basis, then, you can go on and try to refine your understanding with the wisdom density. That would be the fifth density.
Now, what is the connection between the astral plane, fourth and fourth density and fifth density, if there is one?
Well, the astral plane here on Earth is part of the third density. And the astral plane contains a lot of different kinds of entities. I mean, it's got a lot of different variety to it. In the lower astral, we have entities that may be confused as to why they're there. They may be tricking type of entities. They may be elementals of a nature that maybe take over the little dead bodies of a squirrel or something. They inhabit them because they thrive in those types of surroundings. Then it moves up higher to beings that are of light, and in the higher planes, the Devakantic planes and so forth that the Hindus talk about. There are angelic beings there that have a great deal of understanding of what's happening here. They may be the guides that we have here in third density to help us when we have a special problem, when we maybe in prayer or in meditation or in contemplation, you seek assistance. It might be somebody from the higher astral level that responds. There's a great variety of people there. It's just as varied as is this third density that we're in right here.
You know, there's the astral, like in certain spiritual groups, they talk about the astral, the causal, the etheric, and soul, okay?
Correct.
And those distinctions. And is there a correlation between those distinctions and what Ra calls density?
Well, there's a correlation. They are of the third density, though. Each density has a variety of levels or aspects to it, so that actually there's an infinite number in each one. And that's kind of a hard concept to consider, but we keep running into the concept of infinity everywhere we go in the creation. So here in the third density, we have an infinity of levels of the astral planes and the Devakantic planes and the causal and the soul level. And then the fourth density and fifth and sixth, they also have a variety of planes. They also have the spirit world, where they incarnate into, like, we're in what Ra calls space-time here. This is the illusion we exist in. We come from time-space, or the spiritual level, metaphysical level. Each of the densities has that. You can incarnate from a spiritual level into a more physical level, but their physical levels are different than what we have here. It changes a great deal as you move up throughout the densities. Density refers to light, how much light there is packed into that dimension or level of reality. here in the third density, we have a certain amount. In the fourth density, there's a great deal more. It's more dense. The same with fifth and sixth and seventh.
So if someone was existing in fourth density, do you have any idea how it would feel to exist in fourth density?
Not really. I mean, I imagine all the descriptions of the heaven worlds, I imagine it's, you know, probably something like that.
Yeah.
Ross said that their telepathy is the means of communication and that all minds are open to each other. There's no way to deceive anybody and no desire to deceive. People then, after they get to the fourth density, they form what is called a social memory complex. That would be the same thing as Carl Jung's idea of the collective unconscious. If we all knew everything everybody else on Earth had ever experienced in every incarnation, that would be a tremendous bank of memory. Well, that's what we form when we go to the fourth density with all those others that graduate into the fourth density. We form a social memory complex. We have all that information to call upon when we set out to be of service to others, which is the way we grow. It's the way all entities grow in the positive sense. In the upper density. So they have a tremendous amount of information to call upon in this social memory complex.
Now, let me read Ra's answer to the question, because the question here was having to do with the 50% required for graduation from third to fourth. 90% is required for graduation in the negative sense. I've talked about that previously. I kind of intuit how that works, why negative is so high, because the negative, to graduate in the negative, you have to constantly have direction pointed towards you. And because it doesn't have free will, when people exchange energy out of free will, the energy can sustain. And when people share energy out of slavery or force, the energy doesn't sustain. So there's a constant hunger in the negative for more energy. At least that's the way I intuited how that works and why the negative has to be constantly drawing energy in. So the now, this is going from fourth, third to fourth density. And then the question has to go with going from fourth to fifth density. Now, of course, the time period, as I recall, for going from third to fourth and fourth to fifth and fifth to sixth is very long. I don't remember, but we're talking about tens of thousands to millions of years. Is that right, Jim?
Right. The third density is 30 million years, and the fifth, no, the third density is 75,000, the fourth density is 30 million, the fifth density is 50 million, and the sixth density is 75 million.
Mm-hmm. So it's a long time, but of course, when you're in those densities, I'm assuming that Ra is giving the time in Earth time, because as you change densities, time moves differently. So 30 million years of Earth time may not look like 30 million years in fifth density time. I mean, that's what I think anyway. Does that make sense to you, Jim?
Yeah. I also made another statement that said that they were not a part of time, and that a lot of what occurs in the higher densities, though they attempt to give us measurements, they're really existing in what they call an eternal now.
There's
no past, present, or future there. There is here in third density, but not above it.
Okay. So now here's Ra's answer to that. Because the interesting thing here is to go from third to fourth, you only have to be either 50% or 95%, depending whether you're positive or negative. And that when you're graduating from fourth to fifth, and fifth does have negative as well, one has to be, Donna's asking the question, one has to be 99% for negative and 80% polarized for positive. Now, I don't know where he came up with those numbers. I don't remember reading it.
He was guessing.
He was guessing, right. So Rob's answer was, to give this in your terms is misleading, for there are, shall we say, visual aids or training aids available in fourth density, which automatically aid the entity in polarization while cutting down extremely upon the click effect of catalyst. Thus, the density above yours must take up more space time. The percentage of service to others of positively oriented entities will harmoniously approach 98% in intention. The qualifications for fifth density, however, involves understanding. This then becomes the primary qualification for graduation from fourth to fifth density. To achieve this graduation, the entity must be able to understand the action, the movement, and the dance. There is no percentage describable which measures this understanding. It is a measure of proficiency of perception. It may be measured by light, the ability to love, accept, and use a certain intensity of light. Thus creates the requirement for both positive and negative fourth to fifth harvesting. Okay, now, what we're talking about here is going to fourth density and going through fourth density. And did you say it's 30 million years in fourth density?
Right.
But when you're there, it doesn't seem like 30 million years because that's by Earth measurement. But now, to go from fourth density to fifth density, they're having a trouble making it a percentage because it's more, can you look down and see the patterns of the dance? Can you see how it works? This is the quality of wisdom. And I guess you could try to make both the negative and the positive could have wisdom. And wisdom is a quality of understanding the behind-the-scenes motivations in this realm, looking down on it and see how it all fits together. That's one way of describing wisdom. And the entity must be able to understand the action, the movement, and the dance. So that's how you graduate from third, fourth to fifth, except you've got 30 million years in fourth, so you'll probably forget that by the time you're in fourth, but don't worry about it now. Right now, the most focus has got to be getting from third to fourth, okay? Before the veil, during the review of incarnation, were the entities at that time aware that they were what they were trying to do was sufficiently polarized for graduation? And the answer to that was yes, okay? Okay, now let me just interpret that. Before the veil, we live in a veiling process. We don't know what's going on. We have to have it brought to us. We have to discover it. And in this case, and perhaps in most cases, and maybe in all cases, we are discovering this because of the ability of certain people to channel who have clarified the big picture of how this works. And some of us that are on these calls are understanding the clarification. Maybe not everyone. Understanding it all would be a fifth density process. Just open up the compassion is a fourth density process. So basically, before there was a veil, before there was forgetting, people knew that they were trying to graduate. They were trying to get to the next level. In the level we're in 3D, most people don't have a clue of that process. And, Jim, you want to add anything to that?
Oh, yeah. There's another thing that they knew. They knew that they were the creator, and they knew that everyone around them was the creator. So that made it harder for them to find any reason to try to move from that position of knowing that all was one, that they were the creator. That's why later on, various other logoi, or stars, each star in the sky is what is called a logos. Many of them are a logoi. And they refine the creation of the creator and try to make better ways for third density entities to choose. At the beginning of the creation, there was no veil. And they discovered that it took so long to get out of third density that they were looking for a way to make it more efficient. And that's when the veil further out in the creation, if you look at it as a flower-strewn field, further out in the field, there became this veil that they put between the conscious and subconscious mind that erased that knowledge of total unity, being the creator. So now entities could find a reason to move. They, you know, there could be pain enough to cause them to move, or joy enough to cause them to want to do something. They didn't see each other or themselves as the creator. And oddly enough, that lack of knowledge gives us a quicker ability to move from the third to the fourth density.
And as I recall, I think in this section somewhere, there was the beginning of polarization, i.e., negative and positive, good and evil, which we all are aware of in this realm. And that was an intentional addition from the higher realms to catalyze evolution, spiritual evolution. Am I correct in that, Jim?
Basically correct. It wasn't so much that it was planned that this veil would cause a negative and a positive polarity, but that it was accepted if such a thing occurred, it would be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a free will and the exercise of free will by all portions of the creation is always seen to be the most important thing. And we always have to remember that whether it's positively or negatively polarized, the entity is still the creator, and eventually is going to make it back to the creator. And an interesting thing happens to negative polarity in sixth density. They have to switch.
Mm-hmm. In other words, they can get to sixth and still have some negative polarity, but they can't have from sixth to seventh, right?
Right, because the fifth density is wisdom, the fourth density is love, and then the sixth density is the balance of love and wisdom. So when you get to the sixth density, you have to be able to see everyone around you as the creator, and not only yourself as the creator. Now, the negative entity sees itself as the creator, but up to that point has been attempting to control and dominate other selves and take their energy from them for their own use. Now they're in sixth density, and they see they can't go any further with that philosophy because they have to see everyone as the creator and everyone as themselves. So they have to immediately reverse their polarity and become what we would call positively oriented. They don't have to go back and start over because they still have that power. They create the same power by their polarization process as positive entities do.
Now, here was an interesting question, which... when I talked about it on Sunday, I was speculating that we were somewhat doing this in our group because we have and you might be doing it as well, we have a group of people that as soon as we come together on the calls, there's an energy on the call, and people start feeling each other. And they start feeling this wave come true. And I feel the people. And I was speculating that perhaps we were doing what this question refers to. And the question is it possible for a third density planet to form a social memory complex which operates third density? I am Ra. It is possible only in the latter or seventh portion of such a density, when entities are harmoniously readying for graduation. You remember that question, Jim?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, what do you think? Am I making a correct possibility?
I think, you know, yeah. We are in the fourth density now as far as the planet goes. The population is mixed and somewhat confused. But I think every time the people get together with the object of serving each other and learning more about love and developing spiritually, that what's happening now in this latter portion of the third density is just exactly what you're saying, is that there is an energy that's exchanged between them, so that there are different kinds of healings going on, understandings that are occurring, and people are just coming together in more of a unified sense. We discover that in our meditation group that meets every Saturday. And there's a lot of healing that happens when people come. And we start the meditation just by talking around the circle. How's your week been? What have you been doing? And people have so many things they're going through. You know, it seems like it's a time of crisis for a lot of people. And yet being there, being able to talk about it and share it with each other, they go away feeling refreshed and renewed and somewhat healed.
Mm-hmm.
I think it happens
right
now.
Yeah, same thing happens with us all the time. I know myself. I can go into one of our calls. And I can be out of balance, and by the end of the call, my energy is shifted, and the rest of the day goes amazingly smooth. So there is this ability within a group consciousness to heal ourselves, help heal ourselves. That's my experience. And, of course, a group consciousness doesn't have to be a social memory complex. It could be a bunch of people attending a Miley Cyrus concert or something. And there's probably a certain amount of healing for that level that goes on at a Miley Cyrus concert. But as you become more refined and your energy becomes more refined, you go above the level where that kind of group energy no longer impacts you. You're above it. But when you bring in Holy Spirit energy, you could call it, that does make a shift in you on a soul level. In any case, next question here. And do you have any comment on that, Jim? Let me just make sure.
Oh, no, I agree totally. I think there's healings like that happening with all kinds of groups of a spiritual nature right now.
Right, right. And as our cycle ends and graduation occurs, is it possible for anyone to go from this third density to a fourth density planet that is self-service type, or negative type? I am Ra. We grasp now the specificity of your query. In this harvest, the probability-possibility vortex indicates a harvest so small of this type. This is correct. Now, these things are not coming up in any kind of order. This was just a search of the word graduation, and we kind of talked about that earlier, the self-service or the negative graduation, okay? And they're just reiterating that again. Questionnaire, what would that be? I am Ra. First, we would suggest that possibility-probability vortices include those in which the entity known as Gandalf has a lengthier incarnation. Secondly, we would suggest that this entity goes to a graduation if it desires. otherwise it may choose to reincarnate to be with those companions it has loved. Thirdly, the entity known to you as Betty has the means of making the entity more distorted to its comfort and discomfort. Now, obviously, that question there relates to something that was discussed earlier, but they didn't include it here. And I think one important point there, you know, we think, some people think of graduation as a reward, and God is rewarding you because you'll graduate. And in fact, here's one of the real challenges. That is, you have people that you love. You have people that you have been mentoring, that you have been nurturing. And you are one of the few people that could ever mentor or nurture that particular person. In which case, you may choose, out of love, to stay at a lower level to help in future incarnations those people you care about. So, do I have it right there, correct, Jim?
Yes. In this particular case, though, they were talking about our cat, Gandalf. And,
I wasn't talking about a cat, okay.
It goes to what Fred was saying, you know, animals can graduate too. Gandalf was apparently in possession of a spirit, and he was ready to graduate into third density from the second density of the animal world. But he wanted to be with us longer.
I should have asked you about Gandalf. So was Gandalf ready to go into 3D?
Yeah, yeah. Ra had described it as a mind-body-spirit complex, which we thought was unusual. Mm-hmm. Then Ra explained that Gandalf was an unusual example of his species, that he, with a previous mate, of Jerry Mouse was his mate, they both had a true love for each other, and it was a love of a third density level.
I know I read that pets are considered 2D,
right?
But when a pet has a really great master, the master can cause the pet to evolve into a 3D incarnation. And people have asked that question about their pets. There's the answer. Okay.
Yeah, that's the primary way that second density creatures do graduate, through the pets and being invested with conscious self-consciousness and love by their masters.
Mm-hmm. Question. When the first second density entities became third on this planet, was this with the help of transfer of beings from Mars, or were there second density entities that evolved into third density with no outside influence? Okay, so what they're saying there, what Donna's asking is, second density is like animals, and that second entities became third. And how did we get the transfer of beings from Mars? Even the idea of that, to have second density move on to third. Jim?
Oh, yeah. Did you ask the question, or I didn't catch the question?
Yeah. Well, the question was, there were some second density entities which made the graduation into third density with no outside stimulus.
Right.
Oh, that's the answer. The question was, when the first second density entities became third on this planet, was this with the help of the transfer of beings from Mars? Now, is that because there would be 3D beings from Mars here who would turn the second density beings into pets? Is that the idea of the question?
No, there's two concepts involved there. The first one was that there can be a transfer of second density entities of animals into third density without any help from third density beings, and that had happened here on planet Earth. So some of our third density came from second density by themselves through a natural process of interaction with each other. It takes longer to do it that way if they don't have third density around. But the transfer of entities from Mars is another concept altogether. The planetary environment was rendered inhospitable for living because of war. They destroyed their atmosphere. And so a Confederation entity named Yahweh transferred the entities from Mars to Earth at the beginning of Earth's 75,000-year cycle so that they could start again here and try to learn some of the lessons they were not learning so well on Mars.
Mm-hmm. Who transferred the Martians to Earth? Was that Yahweh, did you say?
Right.
Yahweh. Wasn't the Ra group, right?
No.
Who transferred the Maldekians to Earth?
The Maldekians, that's a whole other story. That's another planet that was even worse than Mars. They destroyed their planet about 700,000 years ago with nuclear warfare. Mm-hmm. And for about 200,000 years, they were tied. Their consciousness was tied in what Ra called a knot of fear. They were not aware that they were conscious. And eventually, after 200,000 years, an entity, a social memory complex from the Confederation, was able to help untie that knot and to help them realize that they were conscious and to begin to make decisions to plan reparations and to balance the destruction of their planet. So they also came to planet Earth, which might give you an idea why we have so much warfare here. We have people
right.
been at it for a while. They're trying to learn how to do other things.
Now, it seems to me, I read somewhere that they came to the available bodies on Earth. They were moved to the available bodies. And then somewhere else, I read, they were moved underground.
The available bodies at that time were second density bodies of the ape-like form. So they became what we see as Bigfoot. And a lot of their population went into the inner Earth. There's various pathways into a honeycomb type of a situation in the inner Earth, and they lived there for a great period of time until they could begin to move. They were still third density in their consciousness, but their bodies were second density. So as the Earth progressed in its third density evolution, they were able more and more to take part in the progression in third density bodies.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wait, you know what? We got to come to a close at 6:57. BBS is going to get ready. For those of you that are listening, it's not so hard to graduate. The first thing is being neutral. Second thing is accepting yourself. Don't judge yourself for your negative side, but don't let it run you. And be very disciplined. Wash yourself and forgive yourself and don't judge others. I think Jesus created one of the best schemes for, scheme is not the right word, best guidelines for how to move from third density to fourth density. And if you love your neighbor as yourself, if you judge, don't judge people, if you don't polarize with the negative, you're in, you're on a fast track to graduating. Anything you'd like to say, Jim?
See the Creator in every face you meet on the street, and love them as if they were the Creator, because indeed they are, and as are you.
There we go. And on that note, Jim, I am so glad you came tonight, and we got to do this again. We could do this forever, Jim. You know that?
Well, it's been an honor to be here, and I'll be glad to come back anytime.
All right. And sometime we'll let people ask questions, because I'll bet some of them are thinking. They wanted to ask a question.
All callers are unmuted.
Oh.
And you're all unmuted.
Oh. Thank you, Jim.
Okay, thank you, Wynn.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Wynn.
Thank you, guys.